And hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Alana Song Hopes of Heaven podcast. Today, I am very excited in introducing to you Pam Lanhart. Is that correct?
That's right.
Pam Lanhart. I'm welcoming her to the podcast to give her this space and time to talk about her son, the journey she's been on since she's lost her son, and any encouragement that she can give us along the way, as is the purpose of the podcast. We're here to get strength from you, to learn from your journey, because you never know, there's something that you are going through or have gone through that can help us along the way. So, Pam, welcome, welcome, welcome. And I'm honored to have you here. And I will just give you the floor.
Well, I'm honored to have been asked, and
Yes.
I really thank you for inviting me on. I love that you're doing this.
Yes.
I think one of the things that I find or have found on this journey is that there just isn't enough space for grieving moms, and especially I think for me, finding that opportunity to help moms move from this sort of place of paralyzing grief and
Yes.
despondence to a place of life and hope.
Yes.
I do a lot of work in the field of with families that have substance use disorders. So I before we lost our date, which I'll share that in a minute, I really saw, different ways that mothers grieved and different ways that mothers walk through their journey. And there's no right or wrong way. And so I really want to kind of put a disclaimer out that I'm sharing my journey and the way I walk through this. And never in a million years would I ever want anyone to walk away from this thinking to themselves, I can never grieve that way, or I must be doing something wrong, or, I'm 3 years down the road and not where she's at. And I just think, and we talked about this ahead of time. We can share a little bit of our faith
Yes.
journey as well. And I always go back to John 10:10, which says, "The enemy comes to steal, kill, and
And
destroy.
destroy.
And I came that you would have life and have it in all of its fullness." And that was a life verse before Jake passed away. It has continued to be my life verse. And I want to speak that over any mother that is listening today, that that comparison or that feeling of, I'm not as far along in my journey, that really comes from the enemy. And we just want to get rid of that right now, because your journey is your journey. And whatever you feel, and it's okay to feel that.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Very
So
well put.
thank
Very well
you.
put. Yes.
I'm going to start just a little bit about my journey, because Jake's death was a horrible tragedy and a surprise in some ways that, it wasn't, because we've got 107,000 kids every year that are dying from overdoses. So my son started using some, well, first of all, he was a spitfire from day one.
Yes. Yes.
Just one of those kids that, in fact, my daughter, when she eulogized him, said Jake had big, big emotions, big emotions. He was always, one extreme or the other. There was no middle of the road for him in any aspect of his life, any aspect. And he loved to climb. So if you couldn't find him, you would look up in a tree, you would look on top of the play set. Wherever you could look up, you would probably find Jake. He wouldn't play normally. Like, he would open up the window and jump out on the roof and then
Wow.
jump down. And I mean, he was just one of those kids that had no fear and was always getting into something. He was kind of my naughty kid. But big, big, big as life. And so you never doubted that you were alive when you were around Jane.
Wow.
Jane
wow.
Brought out life in everybody. Now, that also meant the extremes for us. I think with great love comes great pain. And Jake was an easy kid to love, but he also brought us a lot of pain. He started using substances when he was 13 years old, really 12-ish. Went to his first treatment center when he was 15. And it was, you know, kind of a trepidous journey. There were times when he was 16 where I thought, if I don't get this kid some help, he's going to show up on our lawn dead.
Wow.
Because he was an all or nothing with his substance use as well. And, you know, we have videos of him that he had on his phone, and he was an all or nothing when his with his substance use. He was very, you know, engaging and smart, and everybody loved him, but he had a very serious problem with using substances very early on. And I really think that was because of his big emotions, that when you feel the feels so deeply, sometimes you need some help to sort of mitigate, you know, some of that, right? And so I think that was kind of the why behind his substance use. And he ended up in thankfully a juvenile treatment court program, because he got into a little bit of trouble. It worked out really well for us. And then in April 16th of 2016, he was playing rugby and broke his femur.
Yeah.
And so that sort of catapulted him to that next level of substance use. And there was a lot of conflict in our home. And one of the pieces of our journey that, you know, we now work with families to help them as they're walking through this is that we had to really change the way we loved our son, because we wanted to walk this out in a way that really honored our faith values. And some of the things that we did at first were not honoring and very problematic. But through that journey, we really grew in our walk with the Lord. And I wrote a book in 2019 called Praying Our Loved One Home. And that's going to be part of the story I tell, part of our journey. But this book was born out of tears and just desperation.
Yes.
Sitting on my chair every single day, just praying for my son.
Yes.
Right? Praying for my son. And I remember that day. And he's laying on the field and his femur is broken, which if you Google it, they'll tell you it's probably the most painful injury that anyone could ever experience. It's the hardest bone to break. And, you know, breaking your femur is the equivalent of falling out of a 7-story building.
Wow.
That it's really, really painful. And I remember him laying on the ground and me thinking, really, God, really? Like, this is what you have in store for us?
Yeah.
This is the way it's going to end?
Yeah.
Because he had been doing okay, and now he's getting fentanyl for his femur break, and I knew I could look down this road and go, he's going to get painkillers, and it's going to be a battle. And fast forward, in 2017, he did ask for help and he did activate his recovery. And because we had been in such great connection with him, I really just think the Lord blessed us. And, you know, we just really leaned into that and we loved on him and we cared for him. And he did go out of state for treatment and he came back and he had a return to use and went back out of state. But in early 2019, and through that time, most of that time he was sober, the little relapses were very short and he always got help. But one of the things that we always did with him was we leaned into his desire to want to climb mountains. And so my husband would take him out to the wilderness. And especially some of those summers, yeah. I was, when you have a kid that struggles with behavioral issues or substance use, it's a special kind of hell in the summer when they're off school. And so Paul would scoop him up and they would go out to Colorado and climb mountains. And so he ended up in Colorado. We live in Minnesota. And so he ended up in Colorado. Okay. And that was where he went for aftercare, and he built a life out there. He had a recovery community out there. He found this amazing girlfriend. Her name is Maddie, and she is in our life to this day. And we just love her and adore her. And he did well out there, and he had a job and he had an apartment. And in April of 2021, and through this whole time, we're going out there all the time, and we see him when we're climbing mountains, and, you know, just really restored our relationship. Yeah. And that was Joel 2:27, right? That God, you know, will give us back all those years that the locusts have eaten, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Like, amen.
I can hear you like preaching.
Love it.
You know, there was just a lot of healing. There was a lot of restoration. And then in April of 2021, he had a short week-long return to use. And he decided to go to a wilderness program, which was 90 days. And that actually brought about the most healing for us. We just I feel really blessed that we were able to do our work, you mm-hmm. know. But through this whole process, there were some lessons that we learned that I'm going to kind of share as we
sure.
move on that might help. I'm actually yes. I'm speaking at a conference in May, and I've been thinking about, you know, kind of this sort of these kind of bullet points that I'm going to just talk about a few little things that have helped me.
Yes.
As we walk through the grief. So he went to treatment. He came back. He was sober. He was on Vivitrol. We knew about harm reduction. We knew about wanting to keep him safe. You know, through this whole process, we had obviously recognized the fact that, you know, this was a very serious problem, that he could die from his substance use. But we always walked through this journey with hope. You know, when I wrote this book, I'm telling you, it's something I 100% spoke life over him, believed in the promises of God. I believed, you know, Habakkuk 2:3, the vision will be fulfilled. If it takes a long time, don't despair. It won't be overdue a single day. There were verses the Lord gave me, Isaiah 44, where it said, they will return to you and they will say, I belong to the Lord, right? And I'm like, I knew in the depths of my soul that my son would get well mm-hmm. and that he someday would be sharing the love of Jesus with people. And I knew it would be a big miracle because in his active use, he wanted, you know, he kind of walked away from the Lord. Like, and I know that's shame. Yeah. I know that's just what kids do when they're struggling with some of those substance use issues and you know, just kids that are struggling in general, you know, they're like, oh, but it's kind of that thing of like, I'm going to beat God to the punch. I'm going to reject God before he rejects me because I don't feel lovable yep. in this situation. And, you know, we learned to just meet him where he was at, no judgment, just love. And we were so grateful, you know. So I'm reading through my prayers uh-huh. that I wrote, and all those prayers from that book were just written out of, you know, scripture, right? So like, these are the promises of God. These are the things God has told us are going to happen, right? I'm going to turn weeping into joy. I'm going to turn mourning into dancing, you know? And I knew that in the depths of my soul, I knew that was going to be what was going to happen in our life.
Yes.
Right. And so he's back in Colorado. And on October 21st, Thursday night, we got a call that Jake had left the long-term sober living that he was in. And he had an apartment, him and Maddie had an apartment together, but when he came out of wilderness, we were like, why don't you, you know, you need to build this community. Why don't you do this for a while just to transition? And he agreed, you know, he mm-hmm. thought that was a great idea. So we got a call that night that he had pulled his ROI and left the program with a friend. And this friend's name was Danny. And they were going to go back to Jake's apartment to use. And we had met Danny in the wilderness program and knew that Danny was, you know, someone who had really struggled with his illness. And him and Jake, you know, Jake always was for the underdog. He was always making friends with those kids that nobody else wanted to be around. And one of his very best friends in Colorado was this, she's the ambassador for the ARC stores, and she has developmental disabilities. And, you know, Jake would take her call when he wouldn't even take ours, you know, because Emily was just his, he just loved her and she loved him. Mm-hmm. And that was the kind of kid he was. After he died, we just heard those stories, which I'm sure you all have heard about your kids, which were, you know, like, I was bullied and he made friends with me. And, you know, I didn't have very many friends and he just, he didn't care. He didn't judge anybody. And that was the kid he was. So him and Danny are, and, you know, his Maddie's like setting a boundary. You can't come back here with Danny because I just be safe. And so, got Danny a hotel, went back to work on Friday. From what we can, you know, best guess, he was using some during the day on Friday. They went back to the hotel Friday night and Danny overdosed and Jake saved his life with naloxone. Mm-hmm. And so that night they got Danny to the hospital and they got him a bed and detox for the next day. And they went back to the apartment, seemingly fine. Like, you know, Maddie was like, Jake seemed to be fine. Like he didn't seem to be using. And Maddie woke up for work the next morning and Jake had passed away in the night from an accidental overdose. So we got that call at 10:13 in the morning on October 23rd that Jake hadn't made it out of this short relapse. And his, our story isn't one of, you know, one pill can kill and it was an, you know, he was not poisoned. He knew what he was using. He knew the risks. He had told Danny, like, don't worry about me. You know, I can do this safely. And he had died of mixed drug intoxication. Yeah. So his levels weren't that high because he had been sober for so long that it didn't take much. And in a other world, in his past drug use world, it probably wouldn't have been enough to kill him because he would have had a tolerance. But because he had been completely sober for so long, the small amount of substances that he did use did end up causing his heart to stop. That's just a little bit about you know, his life and his death. It's been interesting because as we've moved through this, I've talked to a lot of people about, you know, no matter what, you're never prepared.
Right.
And we were so surprised. And the reason I was so surprised was because I really thought that the vision was going to be fulfilled for him in this life on this earth.
Yes.
And that God was going to restore him completely this side of heaven. And the irony of this journey is that I did pray my son home. I did pray him home. Yes. It's just that home was different.
Wow.
Than what I thought it would be.
Wow. Wow. That's good. That's good. Wow. I know exactly. I know exactly what you mean when you said I was standing on these scriptures, and I know it's going to come to pass. When you just know that you know, mine was Psalm 91.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, whenever it came to my mind, when they were in the bed sleeping, I was in their room. Mine was Psalm 91, you know, mm-hmm. that protection.
Yeah.
So I definitely understand where you're coming from. And now that Alana, I say, has moved to heaven,
mm-hmm.
there's undeniable protection,
mm-hmm.
protection. And I know you, all moms can kind of relate to this. When we're still here on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
So when we hear stories or when we hear of things going on, we have a sense of Alana doesn't have to endure that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a sense of no more pain or no more trying to protect her from what's going on in the world. So like you, in a sense, I feel, she's protected.
Mm-hmm.
She's protected. So yeah. Yeah.
And you know, yes, and right, there's always that and,
which uh-huh.
in my head, I can say, you know, he's way better off, right? Like, he's not hurting, because the Bible makes it clear what heaven is like.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not hurting. And we are, because we're human, right? And so I have to be honest, and there's a few things that I really want to share, that because I write a lot, and I'm very open with our journey. And a couple things. One is, I remember thinking I broke him so badly that he wasn't fixable.
So dig into that. What do you mean you broke him?
Well, I think that, you know, when somebody struggles with substance use, you always kind of wonder why, right? Maybe mm-hmm. it was my fault. Maybe, and there was, there, you know, like, you try to get better, you try to get well, but there's always this sort of, you know, like, what could I do differently? Or what could I have done differently? And there was that questioning where it was like, God, was he unfixable on this side of heaven?
Yeah.
Like, was he so broken? And then there was that part of me where, did I have any part in that? You know, was this situation the result of God rescuing him because he was not fixable on this side of heaven?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then if that's true, and he's your child and you raised him, then you automatically feel that sense of responsibility for that, right?
Right.
And so I think that's where, you know, like, for me, some of those things, like those big why questions. And one thing I want to just share is that, like, I've had people sort of minimize that, you know, well, you can't ask why, it'll drive you crazy. And I'm going to tell you mamas listening, just keep asking why until you want peace. It is okay if every day, and I journal every single day, and I actually journal to Jake. And I started that, I was always journaling before, but then when Jake died, I was like, hey, Jake, you know, and, you know, really, it's like,
oh, that's good. I didn't think of that. Wow.
So I haven't missed a day since, I think it was November 10th, and he died on October 23rd. And even when I don't have my iPad, I write, and then I take a picture, and then I put it in my iPad. So, you know, just like journaling those really big questions and writing out feelings has really helped me. Like, you know, and I put stuff in there that, well, because I'm just open book, I do vocalize those things, but you know, there's things in there that, and I think it's okay to ask those big questions because yes. God can handle those big
yes.
questions.
He can handle it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when it first happened, you know, there were those thoughts and feelings that many of you have already worked through because you're farther down the road, or maybe you're still working through it. But, you know, there were, even though I can in my head say, you know, yeah, he's in heaven, like he's better off, like in my heart, sometimes I just want to go, F you, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had a lot of the F-bombs.
Yeah.
A lot of F-bomb days. Yes.
I had a friend who told another friend, a mutual friend, she said, wow, Pam swears a lot more now that Jake died.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, God can handle my potty mouth sometimes, because sometimes there's just no words to describe this, right? There just aren't.
No.
So I, you know, I'd love to kind of share insights with, you know, people who are walking through this with someone who has lost a child, and just kind of share that, like, mm-hmm. you know, don't minimize or evaluate those things. You know, you don't want to hear, oh, they're in a better place, even though we know they are. And I know, but I had to kind of work through that in my own time. And I think I'm still working through that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know? Because as moms, we want them here with mm-hmm. us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the birds are missing from the nest, you know.
And you're connected to it by an umbilical cord.
Yes.
Like, you don't just, like, you know, and it's a connection like nothing else. You know, I lost my dad unexpectedly when he was 51, mm-hmm. ironically from the effects of his substance use. Mm-hmm. And I was only 27. And I mean, you know, people would compare it to their parents dying or their, you know, dog dying. And
no comparison.
Like, no. You know, that's not the right thing to say, but they're trying. They're just trying
yeah.
to be.
Yeah.
They're just trying to be loving and compassionate, and they don't really quite understand. But so the journaling, just kind of thinking about the things that really have helped me as I've gone through this process of grief, the journaling has been a really big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really big thing.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things that this was really interesting. 9/11, which would have been, you know, 42 days before Jake died, there was a podcast, and I can't remember, I think it was, might have been Brene Brown, was interviewing a survivor of 9/11. And he was on in the South Tower on the same floor that the plane came in. And there were like a pocket of like six people that survived. And she said, how have you gotten through that trauma? And how do you go on knowing that there were so many other people that died? And he said, I started telling my story right away because death only has power in darkness.
Wow, that's good. Yeah.
And, that's part of why I share so openly on my social media page and why I speak. And honestly, it was, his funeral was on a Thursday. That Tuesday night afterwards, I spoke at a church, and I had that booked months before Jake died. And I obviously had to alter my story because the story prior to that day was recovery and restoration, and now it was death. And how do you reframe that story?
Right.
And as I wouldn't say I'm this huge public figure, I don't have as many, you know, Instagram followers as Selena Gomez, but you know, I have a few Facebook followers. And, you know, it was that thing of like, how do I reframe this story in a way that doesn't give it power? Yeah. And I remember in his substance use, you know, I would say, and I say this phrase to these moms all the time, addiction may have taken my son, but I was not going to let it get the 2-for-1 special. Right?
Yeah. And,
you know, death may have taken your child, but I will be danged if I was going to give death the last word. I was not going to let death win. And we just, you know, talked about John 10:10, right? The enemy comes to steal and kill and destroy. And God wants us to live abundantly. And so talking about his death took that power away right away. You know, the cross had the final word, right?
Yes.
And death was defeated. And I think what's interesting is that we always think about that in the context of when somebody dies and they go to heaven. But seriously, it is for us on this earth right now.
Yes.
Death has no victory unless the enemy takes it from you, right? And so we can live in victory even when we are in grief and suffering loss and suffering pain.
Wow, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. We're still winning, even though, even though there's some valley lows.
Yeah.
We're still winning in the midst of the grief, even when we don't see it, we don't feel it. There's, you know, no hope that we feel, but to know we're still winning. We're still winning. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. And then, you know, so journaling and talking about my story and talking about my son. And that's the other thing, you know, it's like find people. I had a big community before Jake died, and I'm really grateful for that. But I found my safe people, and I found people who wanted to listen and talk about Jake. And so I love this forum because that's exactly what you're allowing these mamas to do here, is talk about their kids. And, you know, I want to encourage you all who are listening, like, talk about the fun times, the good times, the, you know, be okay with laughing and smiling and say their names.
Yes.
Like, you know, again, when you hold that in and you don't talk about them, you know, that all that energy is going into your body, all that negative energy is going into your body because you're holding it in. And so, like, just think in terms of like, I need to open up my chest. I need to open up my shoulders. I need to open up my mouth. And I'm going to talk outwardly about my person, about my son,
yes,
because that brings light and life to his life and to the world, right?
Right, right. Exactly. Exactly. You hit it on the head. You hit it on the head.
And I think that's, you know, what he would have wanted, right?
Oh, yeah.
The way he died was not the way he lived. And even though, you know, it was tragic and it was sudden, there's so many things about his life. And thankfully, we just have like a million pictures of him with this big, huge smile on his face. And, you know, he lived this amazing life.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I really want to share, and I know you probably have some questions, is that before Jake died, and this is what has helped us get through this journey, is that we had this amazing sense of purpose.
Yes.
You know, and again, death wins when it can take that sense of purpose away. And maybe you're thinking as you're listening to this, I didn't really have this great sense of purpose before my person died, before my son or daughter died. And maybe God is going to give you that sense of purpose now in this death, in this loss of life, through this pain. And we had a couple, and I'm just going to share them. I run an organization that helps families that have been impacted by substance use to learn how to kind of walk through it with honor and dignity and love and value. And I had that mission before Jake died. Now, the hard part for me was, like, again, all I ever talked about was the restoration that came from recovery and, you know, creating these recovery-oriented families. And now my son is dead. Mm-hmm. And how does that fit into my mission and reframing the story? And we had to reframe it. But honestly, the story really is that we had done that work and our family had healed and it had been restored. And you know, that's part of our mission and part of our story. And I can now go to these mamas and I, you know, I put it on Facebook, like, hug your kids tonight. If this were the last text that they ever got, like, would you want to send that to them? Would you want to read that after they died? Like, I can be sort of that, you know, it's kind of that prophetic gift of, it's not really even prophetic. It's just like common sense, right? But like, prepare the way for the Lord, right? Prepare the way. So for me, it's like, you know, talking to the world around me who still has their loved ones with them and saying, like, prepare for this, like, prepare for death. And live every minute like you were dying, because it could have been me that night for some reason, right? And so that is part of my mission, is to really remind people that still have their loved ones with them that they have this opportunity here.
Yes.
Right? To do things differently with their loved one.
Yes.
You know,
I do, because as I look back, you know, you can't help but to look back.
Right.
There's so many things, and I'm sure you can relate. There's so many things I would have done differently. So many things I would have said differently. You know, so much more time I would have spent doing things, you know, with Alana so differently. So that's good that you're telling moms and prepare the way, because we weren't expecting, mm-hmm. we weren't expecting this journey, mm-hmm. you know, so no one is expecting it. And if it doesn't happen, great. It's excellent that it does not happen. Mm-hmm. But if by awful, godful, if it does happen, you have prepared, mm-hmm. prepared this way to where when you can look back, you can say, wow, I'm glad. I do have times where I'm like, oh, I'm glad we did this. I'm glad we did that. Yeah. You know, you do have that. But there's...
And I think if you, you know, that's like, again, the guilt is the enemy. Yeah. And, you know, we can always focus on those regrets.
Yeah.
We had plenty of them. We wished we would have done things differently when he was younger. I did feel like maybe I broke him, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. There were certainly some regrets, but, you know, I am choosing to focus on the things that we did right and well. And, you know, that there were so many moments that we created as we walked through this journey. And I know that every mother listening to this can think of some of those moments. Wow. And so think of those good things, right?
Wow. You're just connecting to what I tell my moms all the time. Flip your thoughts. Mm-hmm. When you start going into that deep spiral of grief, you know, start flipping the thoughts, start mm-hmm. flipping the thoughts. And that's good of what you said. Let's focus on what we did right. Let's focus on what we did right with our babies. And that's mm-hmm. going to help so much, even if the last words you said were hurtful and you just, you know, man, the last time I saw my son or daughter, it ended badly. I didn't get a chance to. Let's still focus on what we did right.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, just remembering that we don't have the power of life and death. And I've seen kids live that are, you know, you're wondering how they're even still out there. And then I've seen kids die like Jake that have lots of love and support. And, you know, we don't know. I often ask myself, like, sometimes I go, you know, Lord, did you, before the beginning of time, were his days numbered for 24 years and 4 months? Or did his free will cut that short and your intention was for him to be on this earth? And because of his choices, those days ended up being shortchanged. But either way, you know, we can say, blessed be the name of the Lord, like, you know, whatever that is. And I know that, you know, we didn't cause that. And then the last thing, the one little other thing about our sense of purpose is, and this is something really cool, Jay climbed mountains and he lived out in Colorado, and there are these mountains they call 14ers. And 14ers are the peaks in Colorado. There are 58 of them that are over 14,000 feet. And so we have a mission now to finish. He wanted to climb all 58 14ers. And so we've saved the URL, Summit for Recovery, and we're working on establishing a foundation so that we can combine that mission of finishing the now 34 more mountains with somehow raising money for people who are trying to activate recovery or scholarships. And I know other people that have used little pieces of their kids' stories to, there's a mom that her son's foundation is Love Like Logan, because her son was just so loving and kind. And so, like, every time somebody does a good deed, they, you know, click on the website and you know, put it in there. And I don't even know how it all works, but, you know, there's good and meaningful purpose that can come out of even the most tragic and senseless circumstances, just like what you're doing today.
Yes.
You have turned a really dark, horrific tragedy into something really positive, and you are on mission now to help other mamas. And I think God has planted that in each one of us, and we just have to step into it, right?
Yes.
And so when we take our eyes off of the pain and put it on the mission, then I think that helps. That has helped me immensely.
Yes.
Where it's like, you know, I've got to pull it together because I've got people to help. I've got mountains to climb. I've got so much motivation to keep living. And I know that I only have maybe, you know, 20, 25 more years on this earth too. And I'm like, I'm going to make it count. Like, I'm going to make his life count.
Yes.
And I'm going to make it matter because I, you know, I don't know how many days are numbered, you know, for me.
Very good. Very good. Shining Jake's light, Jake and God's light. And that's what I say every morning when I read my, you know, confessions, that I'm here to shine God and Alana's light. Mm-hmm. That's the purpose now, you know, to shine their light.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say one other really quick thing, and this could get into a really long theological discussion. Every mom that's reached out to me has wondered if their kid was in heaven.
Go ahead.
And I have a podcast that I'm going to have you put in the comments.
Okay.
On this one that I think shed some light into that. And it's from a guy who's a trauma surgeon.
Okay.
And he has seen people die and go from death to life in that process. And so he really believes that, first of all, I don't believe God can take away the intent of heart. So if someone, you know, just even cried out help at one point in their life for Jesus, and that's what I talk about in my book, you know, I don't think it has to be a certain prayer. I don't think it has to be these, you know, these certain words. I think sometimes,
say the name.
You know, say the name, that's it. Like,
say
that's it. But I also, what's interesting about his podcast is he has said that when he has interviewed people that have died and come back from life, that Jesus met them in that moment of death and asked them to come with him. And so I personally think that even in that moment of death, Jesus is so good and gracious, God is so good and gracious, that he gives every single person the opportunity to make that choice one last time before they pass away, right? You know, I just, that, I, so what was really cool, I have to tell you this, you know, Jake questioned his faith. And I think kids, especially kids that like struggle with addiction, they struggle with that. And right after he died, I found his Bible. And the day of his baptism was the 10 years to the day of the day that he died.
Wow.
The exact date.
Wow.
October 23rd. 2011, he died October 23rd, 2021. And I think the Lord gave me that sign of assurance. And I think that the Lord's going to give you guys signs of assurance mm-hmm. that your babies are with him. Mm-hmm. And so I know it's really easy to question all that, right? It's really easy to wonder, like, they, you know, maybe in that moment that they died, they weren't really following God, you know?
He's going to meet him.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Mm-hmm. So is there any, before we wrap up, is there any websites or any, your books or anything you want to share with the moms so they can, they need the book, they can get the book.
They
want to follow you, they can follow you.
Right. So, just so you know, I don't have a grief ministry. I have a living ministry. So you can pass this on to your friends, or maybe you have other children that are struggling or loved ones. But I have a book called Praying Our Loved One Home. And this book is just all scripture prayers and words. I write a lot like poetry mm-hmm. is kind of the way I write and storytelling. And this book, if you are praying for someone who is alive mm-hmm. and just, you know, you just want to pray life over them, that's a great book to do that. That's available on Amazon and on our website. And then, I don't, like I said, my work is more for families that are walking through, you know, these issues of loving someone who has substance use. But I really share a lot on my page, and my Facebook page is Pam Jones Lanhart, and they, you know, it's anybody can follow me mm-hmm. and sometimes I'll just share other people's writings. And, you know, like I said, it's not necessarily a grief page, but what I do is just process my grief pretty openly and honestly. And so I just think that, again, when we talk about things and we bring things to light,
mm-hmm.
they lose their power over us.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I agree. So we've been touching on it. So now I'm going to ask the question that I ask all my mamas at the end of our interview. What is your hopes of heaven?
Yeah, what I know is I can't even imagine, right? I can't even imagine how heaven is going to be. Like, yes. I know that in this earthly skin that I have, if I could sit down and have lunch with anybody, it would be Jesus, right? Because I Jesus met the ragamuffin. He met the lost, the least, the left out.
Yeah.
And, you know, my hope for heaven is that I see them all there, that, like, you know, heaven will be filled with all those people that on this earth, you know, were cast out.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so my hope for heaven is, A, I'm going to see my son, because I know that's going to happen, that I get to sit down and maybe have lunch with Jesus, because I think that would be pretty cool. And that there would be so much love there. And I believe the Bible really talks about this, that it's such an amazing place. You know, we can't even imagine it, but it's all love. It's all love. There's no pain. There's no tears. It's all love. And, you know, the idea that we don't have to fear death.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone said one time that if you think about birth and, like, it's all dark in the womb,
mm-hmm.
and then when you come out, it's like this brightness.
Yeah.
And how that's like death, like our physical death.
Yeah.
And then we go into heaven and it's so bright and so light and so incredibly amazing and beautiful that we can't even imagine.
Wow.
You know, in our human thinking, we can't even imagine. So my hope for heaven is just, you know, I'm so excited to be there and really, you know, of course, to get to hug my boy.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. 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 I love your hope of heaven. So Pam, I want to thank you, all the moms across the globe. We thank you for your story. We thank you for your journey. We thank you for shining Jake's light and walking out the purpose to help others.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to thank you. And we are rooting for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're rooting for you.
Well, and again, thank you for doing this podcast. I think it's so needed. And I'm so excited to share it with other mamas that are grieving. We do have a grief group. It is a Christian grief group called Grace for Grieving Mamas. Grace for Grieving Moms.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, it's small. It's not super huge. But it's intimate and it's lovely. And we remember our kids and talk about our kids. And that is on Facebook, Grace for Grieving Moms. So that, you know, if anybody wants to jump in there, it is specifically for mothers that have lost their kids to substance
For substance abuse. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I got plenty of moms across the globe who's mm-hmm. dealing with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Okay.
All right.
I want to thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me and bless you for the work that you do.
God bless you.
Yeah.